From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. Communities lining the Illinois River are responding to record-breaking flood levels this week. The river crested today at the same time Mother Nature delivered a constant pitter-patter of rain. The city of Peoria built a first-ever flood wall running down the middle of Water Street on the waterfront Friday and Saturday. Water Street is closed from the intersection of Main to the Bob Michael Bridge, and the flood wall, made of Jersey barriers packed with sandbags, runs most of that stretch. With today's river crest, the wall is doing a solid job serving its purpose, coupled with pumps at the lowest lying points of the street. Scott Reese was instrumental in creating the flood wall, and Public Works Manager David Haste is overseeing its maintenance and the city's general flood response efforts. Both men took some time out to meet me at the foot of Liberty and Water Streets on Peoria's riverfront, just in front of the flood wall.
Dave, Scott, welcome to Outside the Horseshoe.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming out in the rain to do it. This is a different way for us to do this, but seems like it might be good to walk and talk about what's here on the riverfront, or at least as far as we can. Scott, you laid down the premise for the wall, the flood wall?
Yeah, we got word that the river was going to, they were anticipating a 30-foot increase in the river, and that was late Thursday afternoon was the first time the National Weather Service actually projected that. So we sat down Thursday evening and started trying to plan out how to organize this, and we were able to line up contractors to start construction on it first thing Friday morning.
So then none of that stuff had to go out to bid. Are these people who work with the city generally or on retainer with the city?
Yeah, we had contractors that we have existing contracts on other construction projects. For example, Cullinan was probably our biggest contractor. They're doing all the downtown work currently. ICCI was here. They have another contract on another street project that we're doing. J.C. Dillon has a time and materials contract with the city, and they were here, and a couple other smaller contractors.
So did you just gather up the contractors or bring them down to where we're standing now at Liberty and Water and say, what are we going to do? Or did you already have a plan mapped out when you got them here?
Yeah, we knew what we wanted them to do, so it was mainly just lining up equipment and materials in order for them to start. Right. But we had an idea. We were telling them what to build.
So then at what point did your public works guy, where you come in, Dave, when did they merge with you guys?
Well, they merged with us Friday evening. As soon as they finished up cleaning up other storm debris from the rain, they came in Friday evening and worked right in with our contractors that night.
Dave, in the meantime, the public works department has the remainder of the city to handle removing debris and limbs. And so you guys have a lot of land to cover, not just the downtown area.
And there's a lot of problems that went along with all the rain, a lot of debris in the streets, plugged inlets, and not only that, but a lot of pothole repair. And there's quite a bit of that because of all the water on the pavement. But once the wall was up, it turned into a maintenance work for us, so we've been manning the pumps for around the clock, and then along with all the other work that we have out on the streets and little creeks and things like that we have to take care of.
So what's the workforce there?
The guys are getting tired on the pumps, of course, and those
they're for 16-hour shifts.
Yes, and but we have shifts going, and it's turned out real well so far. We have a little bit of seepage coming in, but you can expect that. We're able to keep up with it. The challenge now, of course, is the rainwater getting in back of the wall, and we have the drains plugged up, so we can't get any river water in. So now we have to change our focus a little bit from the river water to the storm water now, and we're able to maintain that with this gentle rain that's coming down. And also, we're prepared for any heavy rainfall. We brought in additional pumps, and we'll use them as they're needed.
Define what 3/4 of an inch to an inch of rain in one day means to a river crest of 30 feet, roughly 29 and a half feet, that's already happened, and the flood wall that's here, and the debris that you guys have cleaned up around the city already. I mean, it just adds to the whole deal, right?
Well, we're not worried about the river water. It really won't come up, and that won't affect us. It's just mainly the water on the backside of the wall, the rainwater coming in. And that's a challenge at this time. We started looking at it early yesterday. We were concerned about a duration and a rate, of course. We didn't know how fast it would come. But if it's a long, gentle rain, a long duration, we're not worried about it.
What it does for the river level is just extend that peak. So before it might have stayed at 29.4 feet for 4 hours. Now that might extend it out to 6 or 7.
How much of this does the city coordinate with the Army Corps of Engineers? Any?
Well, we've been in constant contact with them since the event started. They were down here this morning overseeing everything, and they give us some guidance. And a lot of what they do is come in and check to make sure that what we've done is adequate and we're preventing any worse of a disaster.
So is it safe to say that you guys understand a variety of city engineering issues and the Army Corps really focuses in on the Illinois River?
Yeah, that's correct. They are disaster focused. That's what where ours are more municipal focused, I guess.
Well, that's a very lovely way to put that.
They've had representatives down here every day and several times a day at the beginning, and they're very impressed with the wall. That's the first thing that they say. They're very helpful to volunteer extra pumps if we need them, or any advice at all, information that they have, anything they'll share with us. So they've been very helpful.
In the meantime, I was talking with them yesterday, and they've shut down about 180 miles of the Illinois River from Dresden to LaGrange. Mm-hmm. And even after the crest is over and after their locks emerge from the water that they're under right now, they've got a whole big cleanup process gets to take shape there. Does that interface with city activity at all when the barges are preparing to come back through, or no?
Not necessarily with city employees. What it does is affect businesses. Like we have a barge terminal down in the old stockyards area and stuff, and they're not able to obviously get up and start moving commerce again until barge traffic is allowed back on the river.
To your knowledge, have any of those folks been in touch with the city?
No, we've been in constant contact with anybody that's low, though. There's IVEX up in Averyville and then Callahan Pork, and any business that's been low, we've had folks from Public Works in contact with them constantly and offering assistance if we can any way possible.
How many have taken you guys up on that? What kind of assistance have you guys been able to render
so
far?
A pump down to the Averyville area, I believe, and that may be a Army Corps of Engineers pump, I believe. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, the fire department had to take a Army Corps pump. Army Corps will not give assistance to a private entity. So the municipality has to request it, and then after you get to that point, then it's yours to basically distribute. So
this is the first time the city has implemented a wall like this since the elevation of Water Street. That was a multi-million-dollar project that happened over the last 2 to 3 years. It's been within the last 2 years that the street was open. Talk about the implementation of the elevated street and how this wall running down the middle of Water Street from Liberty to the Bob Michael Bridge came to be. Why was this put in place? What was the purpose?
We knew about what, from their projections, what elevation, base elevation that the water was going to hit. And we knew about how deep it would get in. And then you started looking at buildings and knew what buildings it was going to affect. And you start looking at the value of those buildings. And just to have business open during the whole event and the amount of money that might be lost by the business owners. We knew this section of Water Street was pretty good because it was built a tenth above the flood of record. Is kind of the elevation of that. We thought we would get some water in it, probably up to the top of the curb at the high side, but it wouldn't be damaging the museum and the Cat Visitor Center. That was built a foot above the 100-year flood. So their floor elevations are all in really good shape. But then we knew this was our lowest spot.
And when you say this, tell people the direction you're pointing.
This is south on Water Street, towards from Liberty towards State.
Harrison and Water is your low point, right?
Correct.
I think that what we see here is just an example. This wall that was built is just an example of the city's commitment to this area. And that's why it went up in such a short period of time, and And there's such a surge of workforce here because this is a focus point here, and city's very concerned with this area and wants to build this area. So I think that was a real good example of how committed the city is to this area.
So at what point do you guys all gather up and do like a team huddle in this whole process? At the beginning or in the middle or multiple times? I ask because East Peoria, the city of, and Tazewell County officials, they had a meeting on Sunday. They had a briefing. They had a meeting today, and then they'll have another meeting, I believe, Friday. Are you guys doing something similar?
Director of Public Works has a meeting every morning since the event occurred, starting at 8 o'clock with the city manager, and our floodplain manager and police and fire are all involved in that. But then internally, from the time we learned it, we've been having at least a meeting a day, if not more. And we're in constant contact with phones.
Any time we get a chance to stand around, we're always planning what we're going to do next. And now that we know that we're in pretty good shape here, and with the wall, the next concern was, of course, the rain. And now everything looks pretty good for us as far as the rainfall and the rate. So now we've been talking cleanup, and that's ever since yesterday. And what's our plan? What's our goal? We want to get it open as soon as we can, and that's what our concern is. We want to get it cleaned up as soon as we can. So as soon as the water goes down, we'll be right in back of it cleaning up.
What point does the EPA come into the situation where they say there are certain hazardous material measures that need to take place with the cleanup because this water is impacted by the combined sewer overflow?
A certain part of it we're aware of. And I'm sure they'll come in to give more assistance with more details.
Yeah. Sanitary District's been able to keep up with most of it, the flow, you know, and they obviously have reporting requirements if they start having a sewer overflow that the EPA is aware of at that time, and then we'll hear back from them.
And let's just do a check of the calendar because we're not that far from all the social gatherings. And
sure.
All of that means city resources, too. Public
sure.
Works become involved there. And so the cleanup on this is going to have to happen pretty expediently as well, right?
Yes, we would anticipate cleanup efforts to start next week as the water, as it's going back towards the banks, we'll be continually cleaning up.
So there's a cost overrun price tag attached to a big snow event in the city that, you know, you can't really plan for. And certainly after a year of drought, this was not likely anticipated. So at what point do you guys attach a price tag to what this means to the city's budget? Because these 30,000 sandbags, some of them were donated volunteers, but it was about 18 constant man hours to fill those bags and place them, the way I understand it, and that comes at a price, right? When do you put the pencil to paper or the spreadsheet and plug in the numbers and decide, wow, what it really means?
We're optimistic that we will get some assistance from FEMA, or because we did save a lot of permanent damage by being proactive and doing this, you know, so you hope that cost is less than the impact it would have had if these buildings would have been damaged and the amount of cleanup that would have had in. So typically in a disaster, you can get some financial assistance. And so until we know that, we won't know for sure the impact on the city's budget itself. And our contractors are working on getting us numbers for the time that they spent. And we're working on getting our city numbers put together too for our man hours.
What haven't I asked you about this that you think might be interesting to Peoria Public Radio listeners?
Well, I think that the next step is the cleanup. I think that people should know that we're going to get the wall removed from the street as soon as we can. As soon as the water is down far enough away from the wall, we'll continue. We know that we're in the clear, of course, but as it goes down, we'll be right in back of it cleaning things up.
And I'd just say it's been a great team effort on the public works. I mean, we have a number of divisions in public works, and everybody came together and was able to help out wherever needed. And it was a time of crisis, and everybody pitched in and was willing to do their part. And it was good to see. And with the businesses down here, too. Everybody from Pat Sullivan at Kelleher's fed everybody lunch one day. Hooters was offering food. Everybody down here, Rhythm Kitchen, has just been excellent to work with.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Scott, for taking the time to be out here at the foot of Liberty in water. It's a rainy, chilly day, and yet you guys are willing to come out and talk with us and take our show on the road, so to speak. Thank you, bud.
Thank you.
You're listening to 89.9 WCBU Peoria Public Radio. This is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Kuntz. Please stay tuned for our live broadcast of the Peoria City Council meeting in room 400 at Peoria City Hall, where it is warmer and drier.
Local broadcast of tonight's Peoria City Council meeting is made possible by a grant from the City of Peoria.